All right.
Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil. I'm Lucas.
I'm Phil.
And today we have a special episode planned for everybody. I am so excited, Phil.
It is. It's kind of exciting. I feel like it's fresh and new because
it's on a new board. We're not just recording into your computer anymore.
A new thing.
Yeah.
It's a new thing. And you got a new microphone. You sound great, Lucas.
Thank you. Thank you. If only I had new vocal cords. Sound even better.
No, so yeah, we're using a new thing. Shout out to Rode. It's the Rodecaster Pro, which is kind of the new thing that's going around. We didn't buy it. Somebody else bought it and let us use it. So
yeah,
shout
we're
out
borrowing
to Kyle. This.
Yes, thanks, Kyle, over at Talenton. They do something. No, Talenton's great. They help. They make margin for ministry for ministers.
So they make life easier. They make life easier for pastors and church leaders.
Yeah, they help out a ton. So
like us.
We love Kyle around here.
Great guy.
And so
So this is if we sound better, it's not because of anything we did. It's because of that. Because of Kyle and his special checkbook.
Yeah, we need some more checkbooks ourselves.
Yeah, we do. My checkbook is fine. It just doesn't, when I write a check, nothing happens.
Oh, yeah. Well, I heard it's kind of bouncy sometimes.
Yes. That is definitely true.
Bouncy. It's a. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we get with the new soundboard, too. Some cool sound effects.
We apologize in advance for too many sound effects
today. I'm going to be
wearing
this. Yes, it's a lot of fun. People love it. They love it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, all our adoring fans. Now, Phil, speaking of our adoring fans, what's going on this weekend?
This weekend is probably the most eventful weekend in the history of our podcast. We are having our anniversary celebration at...
Big Baby Rolls and
Big
Donuts.
Baby Rolls
Shout
and Donuts.
Shout out to Big Baby Rolls and Donuts.
11th Street.
11th Street in Harvard. And it's at 9:30 in the morning.
On Saturday.
It's going to be amazing.
On Saturday, 9:30 in the morning.
February 27th.
Yeah, show up at 9:30 or just drop in anytime. And you buy your own donuts, your own breakfast. Although we may try to have some donuts there that anybody can just, you know, that our guests can share.
Yep.
But if you're really hungry, bring money.
Bring money.
Because as we said before, our checkbooks are bouncy.
Yeah, we don't have any money at all.
Lucas, stop it. I should never have given Lucas the board.
I love the buttons, Phil. I love to press the buttons.
Oh, man.
So, and also, the t-shirt contest is going on right now. Well, actually, the t-shirt contest, by the time you're hearing this, is finished.
It's finished.
And so, we will be getting those to Amazon tonight into the merch. And then we'll let you guys know as soon as they're available for purchase. And here's the deal. We talked about our pocketbooks and checkbooks a lot. To help the podcast keep going and to pay for the monthly cost of running a podcast, which are real. It's like $20 a month, guys. Come on.
Yes, that's right. Think about it. $20.
So we will be posting those with an affiliate link. And so you're going to want to go to our Facebook page or on the Instagram. You can click through the affiliate link there to buy the shirts.
How much are the shirts?
The shirts should be around $20 a piece.
So we need 12 sales.
12
Every
sales.
Listener has to buy two.
Phil, we have dozens of listeners.
So they could share a shirt.
That's right. Listen to our listeners, Phil.
Wow. Listen to them. Listen to that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
They like me. They really like me.
Wait, Phil, here's the fans of me. They're all here for you. Those shirts will be available soon. The contest is over. I would announce the winner on here, but first off, I don't want to take the time to describe it. And second off, I'm actually going to go check the results after the podcast is over.
We don't know yet.
Yeah. But it'll be.
I have a suspicion which one's going to win.
Yes. And I'll
there
post.
There is a front runner, a clear front runner.
I'll post the winner on the Facebook page tonight, which actually, as people are listening to this, was last night because this will be posted Tuesday. It's going to be great. I'm excited to get a shirt with my own face on the back. So.
I'm not. That was my only gripe, Lucas, is all the designs really featured those faces.
Phil, when you pay for a caricature, you have to use a caricature.
Yeah, we want that $10 to go.
Yeah, it's got to go. 20?
I paid 10. Did you pay 10 also?
I think I paid 18. You paid 10. I paid.
Why did I only have to pay 10? Do I owe you like $4?
Well, I had to pay the tip and stuff to the guy on Fiverr, and the service fees and all that stuff. So it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
You can buy my
You're
lunch.
Right. Not
buy
a
my
big
lunch.
Deal. No.
Anyway.
Yeah. So, well, man, did you have a good week this week?
Yeah, I did. I had a great, great week.
As we always say, did you eat anything exceptional this week? As if food were so important.
Yeah. So I had a brisket actually on. Mm. Well, so Saturday, we went down to celebrate some birthdays in Oklahoma City. And then we went by and saw my family on our way back out of town.
The city.
The city.
People from Oklahoma City say.
That's right. Because it is the city with on cue, you know.
As if this is not a city.
Well, it's not the city. Anyway, so we had some Chinese chicken for lunch over at Tori's mom's, which is amazing. But we ate lunch about 3 o'clock, which we'd already planned to go to my family's for dinner. So we ate lunch at 3, and then at 6, surprise, we had brisket and twice baked potatoes.
That's a lot of food.
It was delicious.
In a very short period
Both
of time.
Meals were amazing, and so it's hard not to
How
eat
How is
much.
That even possible?
To eat that
to
much?
To enjoy the brisket. Although I should be one to talk.
It was great. Anyway, and then
it really takes
Sunday
me about an hour.
For lunch, we took leftover brisket, chopped it up, not fried it, but put it in a pan and then put some barbecue sauce and then covered a baked potato in it. And that is just one of my favorite meals. Like, it's my favorite way to eat a baked potato is with barbecue brisket on top. Mm. Pulled pork, chicken, any of it. Anyway, barbecue on a baked potato, so good.
I'm not a big fan of that. My wife loves that. And so we do that often. And I'm like,
God bless you, Brahman.
The potato's kind of in the way in my mind. The potato's interrupting all the barbecue flavor. But I'm like a flavor guy. I like everything. Pow! I like everything to hit you.
Bang!
So I actually ate at Pub W for the first time, which is
Pub W's pretty good.
Related to Neighborhood Jam.
Oh,
if you don't
I didn't know
they're
that.
In
cousins?
They're in the same. They're cousins. They're related. They're in the same restaurant group, which I can't remember the name of it. It's a guy's name, but
it's probably Joe.
Pub W.
Joe Mama.
It no. It's not. Yeah. Lucas,
okay. Go ahead. Keep going.
Lucas has buttons. Everybody. So, but Pub W has some great food. I actually had a burger that had some kind of fig jam on it and some habanero pimento cheese, and I love sweet and hot.
Yeah.
And it was just a really good burger. So I was really impressed.
I actually kind of sounds gross to me, but I take your word. I want to
try
it.
So good. So
fig jam just on a burger does not sound good. But also like peanut butter on French fries doesn't sound good. But if you go to S&B's burger joint, they have some amazing peanut butter fries. I think it's called PB and Bacon.
Interesting.
It's really good.
Yeah, sometimes the thing you don't think is going to taste good does. And this, I'm so glad I got it. It was the perfect sweet heat. And I was only able to eat half the burger for my Sunday lunch. So, no, it means I got more for dinner.
Proud of you,
Lucas,
Phil.
Stop it. Okay.
So many buttons. You know what, Phil? That story got me thirsty for some orange juice. I don't know what sound effect to use with this.
We don't need a sound effect for everything. One of these days. Yeah, there we go. We'll record the Gen Z word of the week.
Gen Z word of the week. All right, here it is, Phil. Granola.
Granola. Well, I would say that is, I mean, to me, that is already a word that I use on a very rare occasion to describe someone who is like all into natural stuff.
Dang, Phil, I love it. I didn't even know this
really?
One. I'm so
Am
funny.
I right?
Yeah, usually female, a granola girl is the chill, down-to-earth, hippie girl who loves the planet, probably composts, and lives in Oregon, or at least she wants to. So the word this is crunchy. Like, there's like the crunchy moms are like all natural, you know, no medicine, like all this stuff. And so crunchy. Right. Granola. I didn't realize granola was a word for that.
Yeah.
So I am so proud of you, Phil. Yeah. You got it right.
I won. What do I get?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. Well,
you get my adoration. I'm proud of you.
Well, you know what, Lucas? That's all I've ever wanted. How long we've been doing this podcast? Lucas has never told me he's proud of me.
I think I tell you every week, Phil.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Some you just give and give. Some people just, it's never enough. It's
never enough. Well, like, I'm very insecure.
You're like the lady from Anyway, never mind. Forget I said that. Yep.
Yeah. Very.
Not a lot going on up here.
Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot going.
What? All I can think of was Les Mis, but it's the other Hugh Jackman musical, it's The Greatest Showman.
The Greatest
never
Showman.
Never enough. That one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
that's a great song, by the way.
Phil, you ready for some coffee?
I am ready for some coffee. Is it time? Oh, did you think of a dad story?
Yeah, I got a dad story.
Lucas was really racking his brain to try to think of a dad story. You've just only been a dad for 10 and a half months.
Yep. And the entire 10 and a half months I've been a dad, we've been podcasting. So there's never been this moment for me to like cash up on dad stories. It's just been every week since I've been a dad.
Well, yeah, it's quite a job. I've stepped in a couple of times.
Yeah, yeah.
But this week he's got one. So take your bets. Lay your bets. It is
poop or no poop.
Poop or no poop.
Phil, what do you think? Poop or no poop?
I'm saying no poop this week.
Phil says no poop. What do you say, everybody? Let us know in the comments.
Yeah.
I guess we're not in a
comment
live
right now.
Video.
Oh, yeah.
Comment wherever you are. Put on Twitter, I bet it's poop or I bet it's not poop. And we just want to see what we can do.
Hashtag
start a revolution.
No, hashtag Lovin' Pancakes.
Lovin' Pancakes. At Lovin' Pancakes, actually.
Yeah.
It's spelled funny, though, and Phil hates it.
Pancakes.
Thanks, Facebook.
Spelled.
Anyway, yeah. So this story involves intrigue and betrayal.
Ooh.
So Naomi is the sweetest girl alive, right? And so she loves to come up and she can grab onto the couch and pull herself up to stand there right beside us, you know, and she'll like play with something on the couch. And she puts her hands up, like, grab me. So we'll pick up Naomi and hold her on the couch with us. And she's so amazing. So she's sitting on my lap usually. And then she'll just like dive head first as quick as she can because she sees a toy on the ground she wants. And so she'll just dive and I'll always catch her. But Tori's like, we need to teach her to turn around and go down feet first so she can land on her own. Because if not, like she's on the couch by herself, she just dives and
she's
no
just
one's there.
Crash
and it's happened a couple times where she's fallen.
Have we had injuries yet?
No injuries, just tears.
Yeah, just tears. They are made of rubber, largely, it seems.
Yeah, it's crazy. We've talked about it. Like, once you get the baby to like 9-10 months, like, you did it. Like, they're alive. Now it's just the major stuff. Like, don't let them get run over. Don't let them eat poison. Don't let them drown. You know, it's no longer like an infant is like so delicate and
so
you have to protect them from everything.
No.
10-month-old, you're like, here, take it and throw her. So she's amazing. I love my daughter. Yeah.
We carried our children, once we got to that point, we carried her around by the feet, pretty much. 1 foot at a time. They're like, Dad, look at this. look what I can do.
Ah. Dad stories with Phil. Anyway, so this morning, actually, Naomi had run to me and I was standing behind the couch. So I was like, I'll just put her down on the couch and then help her get down feet first off the couch. So I'm standing behind the couch and I put her down and then I try to like help her. I put her feet off the couch and I'm like kind of pushing her slowly. Well, then my arms aren't as long as I thought they were. And so she's probably, her feet are 3 inches.
Does this involve blood?
No. There's a rug in there. Anyway, her feet are only 3 inches from the ground at this point. But then like, I just can't stop her from falling those last 3 inches hard. So she like, feet hit, then she falls on her bottom. And then she just stares at me with those big eyes like, Father, no! You were supposed to bring balance to the force. And so then she just starts crying and I like run around the couch to go get her. But anyway, I accidentally betrayed my daughter.
You definitely betrayed your daughter.
She didn't fall like her head didn't hit the ground or anything. I don't think she was hurt. She was just terrified. And the trust there might be gone. I hope not. But,
well, Lucas, I just want to reassure you, it happens to a lot of dads. It never happened to me. I never did anything. it happened to me. Well, you know the story. I left my daughter somewhere when she was really little.
Dad of the year, everybody.
She was too young to remember. But so if you guess no poop, you won as I did. There was no poop in that story.
No.
And Lucas is actually a good dad, even though he dropped his daughter.
3 inches, Phil.
On purpose. You basically tossed her off the couch.
And if you did guess poop, Lisa!
Oh, we are rearranging the furniture in here for sure.
It's okay. We love you guys. Phil, the cool part, too, is I can see how long we've been talking now. So.
Oh, nice.
It's great. Well, are we ready to dive
into the main
course?
We are. We're
going to
dive into the main course. This is our waffle or our...
Eggs and bacon.
Eggs and bacon.
Biscuits and gravy, gluten-free, hopefully. If not, it's going to be painful later. So...
Yes, definitely. So today we're talking about the twins,
spiritual gifts, and fruits of the spirit.
Fruits of the spirit, the kind of the twins in
love,
scripture.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
That was so awesome.
Thank you.
We can cut that out later, right?
Golly. All right. Welcome
sorry,
to
Lucas.
Second Breakfast with Lucas and Nobody. Hey,
I Lucas. I love you, buddy.
Wait, watch this. Phil's muted. Just joking. You're back.
I was gone there for a second. I was going to say how much I appreciate you, Lucas, but never mind. So I do. I really do appreciate you. So we thought, let's talk about spiritual gifts. Oh, no, we were going to talk about the fruits of the Spirit. And then I thought, well, I think that's a really great subject to talk about together and how the two kind of relate, because the place where we're taught the most about spiritual gifts is a place where it's in the book of 1 Corinthians, right?
1 Corinthians 12.
1 Corinthians 12 through 14. Yep. A lot of talk about spiritual gifts and the operation of the spiritual gifts in the church. And interestingly enough, it's a place where it doesn't seem like the fruits of the Spirit are very much in operation. You know, it seems like the two, it's almost like the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit are in conflict there, which is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're not using them in tandem with one another. So I think it'd be a really good thing to talk about, fruits of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit.
I'm super excited. I think gifts of the Spirit are something sometimes I don't maybe have the expertise I would like to have. And so when we first started talking about it, I was like, I don't know, maybe not. But I'm excited to kind of dive into them. And so I guess my first question on gifts of the Spirit, Phil,
because
we could go through and we could read through all of them. But do you think that only the gifts of the Spirit listed in Scripture, are those the only spiritual gifts available to members of the body?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think yes and no. I think Paul is describing, when he talks about those nine spiritual gifts, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, working of miracles. I can't remember what the other ones were. And then there are a couple others sort of listed. Then there's sort of the gifts of ministry. It's like pastor, teacher, prophet. And I can't remember what they all are.
Administration, apostleship, discernment, faith, healings, helps, knowledge, miracles, prophecy, teaching, tongues interpretation, and wisdom.
There you go. And words with so there's like 12 or so that are specifically listed. So I think the Holy Spirit, in his inspiration of the Scripture, has given us a complete picture,
mm-hmm.
but not a complete list.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I
don't think it's meant to be this detailed list of, well, if you're not the, but first of all, if that was a really submit to be like a detailed list, he would have told us what those things were.
Right. He would have gone into more detail there.
But Paul's describing his experience.
Yeah.
He's describing what was sort of happening in Corinth. And there it's describing in Ephesians, this other, I think the other is in Ephesians.
Yeah, Ephesians 4, there's apostle, evangelism, pastor, prophecy, teaching. In Romans 12, it mentions
Romans
exhortation, which is doesn't come up any other time. Giving, leadership, mercy, prophecy, service, teaching.
Yeah.
And so I think, I mean, in the simplest form, a spiritual gift is any gift from the Spirit.
Right?
Like we have to, and so I think too, like there's the online, I just see on one of the things I'm looking at to get all of my information here, it has, go take our online spiritual gifts test.
Uh-huh.
So, which I remember in youth group, like taking those and getting the different things. And I think the Spirit, when you become a believer, you are initially gifted with certain things that you carry with, like you said, exhortation.
Right.
Is something.
And it's interesting that I would just sort of say, I have that gift.
Yeah.
I kind of believe something a little different than that, that I wouldn't say I just have one gift.
No.
But there are things, like you said, when you're born again or when you start your ministry, as you kind of go through your life, there are certain things you kind of naturally do.
Exactly. And so I think, but on top of that, there are different situations that appear where all of a sudden the Spirit gifts you with this ability you've never had before.
Absolutely.
And you may never have again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like this is not, so this is where I struggle sometimes because I am a gifted public speaker.
Yeah.
Like it's something my entire life that's just come pretty naturally. I've practiced it a lot. And so I think I do have the spiritual gift of teaching,
mm-hmm.
but I also just have the natural gift and ability, which is
right.
a gift from the Lord. But before I was a believer, was already a gifting.
Right.
And yeah. so I don't think it's a spiritual gift to be a public speaker.
Yeah.
But when the word lights up for me, and I'm able to take scripture and then pull it apart and almost, you know, peel the layer on an orange to reveal something new to people, that's the spiritual gift side of teaching.
Right.
So it's this. So maybe, Phil, if you can go a little bit deeper on the difference between natural ability and spiritual giftings.
Well, what an amazing conversation because, you know, we were talking last week about the individuality in the body of Christ mm-hmm. and how your creativity, your individuality should be enhanced by the fact that you now find your identity in your Creator rather than in your feelings or in your inclinations. Like, you don't identify yourself as a public speaker or as a popular person or as a talking to person. You identify yourself. I don't know. Phil's completely irrelevant references. Okay, so.
I love you, Phil.
You
proud of you.
You identify yourself as a believer first, and then whatever else is sort of underneath that. But you are naturally good at speaking, at being on stage. You know, we immediately, when you came on staff here at Eastwood, you immediately became the announcements guy, the get up on the stage guy, because it's just obvious you know how to communicate to an audience, to a group of people. So that's a natural thing. You also have spiritual gifts, teaching, maybe preaching or prophecy, exhortation, definitely I see. When you lead worship, you lead through exhortation. It's not just through singing the song. You say things that are very clear and help bring people along, this encouragement that you really you get them to a place. So those gifts, spiritual gifts, work with your natural gifts. On the other hand, I'll tell you an experience. I was naturally much more shy than I am now.
Mm-hmm.
But in the beginning, when I first started my ministry, I would write songs and then I would sing them places. I'd get a band together and I would sing. Or I had this group when I first graduated from college that I was the director of. And these college kids would sing these popular Christian songs at some event. And then I would stand up and usually I would have a very brief thing to say. One day, you know, I was a pretty shy person and I did not know how to put a sermon together or anything like that. I was a music student. I was not a ministry student. One day I stood up and preached this sort of perfect 3-point message. I preached this message and it was like, where did that come from? And it was almost like the opposite of my natural tendency.
Right.
So here a spiritual gift came in and overrode my natural gifts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't have those natural onstage speaking gifts early on, like they've developed now. So yeah, they can work together. Or they can, the spiritual gift can come and just totally
right.
rock your world.
Isn't it? Yeah, and that's what you said. It's not like you prepared a 3-point sermon.
No, not at all.
But the Lord just used you in that moment. It's like the day at Pentecost.
Yeah.
Whenever, it's not like they were all like, you know what? We're going to get up and we're going to preach and then everybody's going to hear it in their own language and it's going to be like, we're going to practice this.
Right.
Like sometimes the Spirit just comes in and rocks your world.
Yeah.
And I think that's key, right? Like it's all the Spirit. It's so humbling because like it's easy to be proud when I'm like, yeah, I've practiced public speaking for years, you know?
Right.
But whenever it's something that I haven't prepared, whenever it's something I don't even know, And the Lord uses me in that way. Like, if anything I ever do comes out organized, I'm like, that was the Spirit, right? Like, that's that administration coming through, baby. That's not me.
Yeah.
And so it's just, you know, and mercy, that's another one it lists. And that's what I think, too, we have to be careful sometimes that we don't pigeonhole ourselves and go, well, I've been gifted with teaching, so I don't have to worry about mercy or evangelism like you peasants. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's we've got to understand, like, the Spirit will give us these gifts.
Yeah.
And we just, like, discernment is one, too, that is key. And, you know, it's asking for that. It's seeking that. It's seeking the Lord.
Yeah. And I know, Lucas, you and I are going to get, we're going to get pigeonholed here that we always say the same thing. That's okay. I am not a big fan of spiritual gifts inventories.
Yeah.
Of saying, oh, well, this is my gift and this is my gift. And they're sort of like personality profiles with the spiritual gifts sort of
flavor
slapped on the top of them, you know, yeah. Sort of how could we fit this into this and this? And I'm like, they're not necessarily bad if you just don't have any idea how you are wired to work in the church. But overall, a much better way to go about it is to get to know God, to spend time worshiping Him with the body of Christ, and to allow God to begin to manifest these spiritual gifts through you, and to begin to listen to the Holy Spirit in your daily walk, in your daily life. How can I minister to that person? My wife began really early on counseling with young women, and she would find, you know, she'd come home and she'd say, I said this and I don't know where it came from. And I said, that kind of sounds like a word of wisdom, maybe from the Lord, like what the Bible was talking about. And so it was just that what started to kind of naturally happen, listen to the Lord and begin to kind of pay attention to what God's doing through you.
Yeah.
I think that's a much better way to have spiritual gifts inventory. And it avoids that idea of pigeonholing yourself.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, if we sound like a broken record saying, hey, the key to all this is just to know God and to seek after Him, then I would much rather be a broken record,
well,
right?
Well, talk to Paul. Talk to Paul.
Every book says the same thing. How many letters are you going to write saying the same thing?
Exactly.
But the thing is, and that's what, like, with sometimes with Sunday school material, with all this, like, it's like, hey, this stuff keeps saying the same stuff. I'm like, you'd think it's important then, right?
Exactly,
like,
right.
Like, I think sometimes we think, like, well, every time I read scripture, every time I dig it, I have to find this new, deep, amazing truth.
But oh, yeah. And you got to be careful with that, actually.
Yeah, you've got to be really careful. Because what if every time you're studying scripture, what if every time you're doing this, all you're looking for is to get to know this big, amazing, wonderful God better? What if it wasn't about what can I get out of this Bible study? What deep truth can I find? But how can I glorify and praise the Father? How can I know Him better?
Yeah.
And that doesn't always look like a big, shining moment.
No, or some deep truth, some deep thought that no one's ever had before. And those things... those things come, you know, but they're usually, you know, I had this idea one time when I was leading worship, and I think I shared it with Pastor Gordon 15 years ago when I was on staff as the worship leader here. I shared it with Pastor Gordon or with one of my other buddies here, and I said, I don't know if this is in the Bible, but I see in worship there's this chain reaction where I worship the Lord from my heart, and then someone else in the audience responds. And then someone else responds, and then I respond, and it begins to build in this sort of chain reaction. And it was either Pastor Gordon or it was this other friend of mine that said, you need to look up the chain reaction of worship in Revelation by this old Scottish guy from the 1700s. I'm like, cool. You know, I had never thought of that before. I thought that was so brand new.
There is nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
But it is... And it's like sometimes there's these bright shining light moments when you're like a light bulb and it's nothing completely brand new.
Right. But it is to you.
To you. And then other times I feel like it's more like if you're in the attic and you hit your head on like a board in the attic, and you're like, how did I not see that before? Have you ever like, you're just like, oh, how have I missed this?
Exactly.
That's identity in Christ for me. I ran into this post. It hurt my head a little bit. And it's just like, how have I lived my whole Christian life without knowing this?
Right, without seeing it from this perspective or
whatever. It's like it turns your world upside down. And so sometimes it's worth it to hit your head pretty hard to flip your world upside down. Yeah.
So sometimes gifts really come and surprise us. So I want to let's talk about the connection between spiritual gifts and the fruits of the Spirit, because you study the 1 Corinthians passage, where it's talking a lot about the manifestation gifts, you know, not so much just the ministry gifts, but the things that we sort of manifest and minister to each other in the body life in a family setting. The problem that they were having there is they weren't operating according to love. Right, 1 Corinthians 13, sandwiched right there in the middle. Mm-hmm. He says, you got to do these things, let love rule.
Without love, I am nothing.
Nothing. Well, without love, I am nothing, I have nothing, and I gain nothing.
Yep.
So those three things are in that passage, which is just, you know, it just is showing you're actually, without love, you're taking that spiritual gift and you're cheapening it or you're devaluing it, right?
Yeah.
You've done nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible.
I mean, to use like an NFL thing, it's like the Jets, like the New York Jets. You've taken like this amazing gift and like nobody does less with more than the Jets lately, right? Like it's just like, hey, here's like a number one quarterback.
I don't know much about the Jets, but you're really,
terrible. Like it's like a professional sports team is just terrible all the time. They get these great players and they ruin their careers. And it's... Yeah. We get these great spiritual gifts, and when we use them for ourselves or we use them not in love, it's just it's taking a number one draft pick and not using it
sitting
to its
them
fullest ability. Yeah.
Yeah. Or making a tight end out of a running back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love the idea when and I know that a lot of people have sort of brought this out, but I used to think, well, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Did I get them in the right order? I don't know. I got close.
Yeah.
So, but really, what really makes sense to me, especially when you think about 1 Corinthians 13, is that the fruit of the Spirit is love. Mm. And that all those other things kind of flow out of love. Is that too simplistic? What do you think?
No, I think if anything we could simplify for me is great. So,
yeah. Yeah.
I think, you know, it's a little bit of a... that going on sometimes. But yeah.
You were just waiting for another moment to push a button.
Always looking for a moment to push a button, Phil. People love the buttons. Love spurns joy. Love, if I love you, I'm going to be patient with you. Love is patient. Right. Love is kind. Love shall not envy. Love does not boast. All of these things listed in 1 Corinthians 13, if we are loving in the 1 Corinthians 13 way, in the way that God has loved us, joy, peace,
joy, pace. Pace
joy,
is important
peace,
too.
Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control flow from love. Which kind of, you know, I don't, oatmeal-wise today, hard truth, is if it's not benefiting the body, if you're not using it to benefit the body, then it's not a spiritual gift.
Meaning other believers.
Right. So if it's not loving the people around you, like you don't have the spiritual gift of gossip. That's not a spiritual gift. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, seriously, the spirit. People talk about, oh, well, I have discernment, and I can tell that that guy's got a bad attitude. Well, what is the point of you accusing somebody? You're lining yourself up with the enemy, who's the accuser of the brethren. You know what I'm saying? That's not a spiritual gift. That's not discernment. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Little things like that. If you're not using it to build others up, then you're.
Yeah, I mean, and this is the one where we get hung up with tongues all the time.
Yeah.
And that's a key one that we didn't really go in depth on this podcast about. But it's because, like, if it's not building the body up, if it's just getting people to look at you, then it's not a real spiritual gift.
Right, that's why Paul said, I let one or two people speak and always somebody interprets.
Yeah.
And if it's going to be an offense to somebody, I just be quiet. I just am quiet.
Yeah.
You know, it's about... the other people. It's about other people.
You know, it's like when Jesus said the two greatest commandments are love God
I was
and love
say this.
Others.
I was going to say this.
He knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, I was thinking about that James passage, you know, where he says, he who looks in the perfect law that gives liberty, and he is blessed in what he does. In other words, the doers of the word, they look at the perfect law that gives liberty instead of looking at their own behavior and then trying to fix it all. Mm. You know, James is talking about the ones that are not doers of the word are always just trying to fix themselves. But the ones that are doers of the word look at love, because the love is the perfect law that gives liberty.
Yeah.
I mean, what else could James, the brother of Jesus, have been talking about other than that Jesus said the whole law is summed up in love.
Yep.
And so James is talking about love.
Yeah.
He's saying what you really need to look at if you want to have spiritual gifts and the fruit of the Spirit flowing in your life is going to start with love. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. Yeah.
I've enjoyed having this conversation. So do we have a minute of culture today?
Well, before we get to the minute of culture, I just want to give one final word on
this. Final word.
And my final word is just for everybody. If you listen to this, you're like, you didn't talk about finding my spiritual gift at all. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do now. Like, I heard a lot and I know more about them, but how do I know what I have? Again, just it's all about seeking God.
Yeah.
It's all about learning about Him, knowing Him more, and then you can be more, and you already are more and more like Him.
And I think if you listen to this podcast, you might get the idea that Lucas and I really believe that it is not up to ministers and speakers to spoon feed you information. It is up to you to know the Lord and seek the Lord and study the Word. You know,
if
you're not comfortable with learning things from the Lord through the Holy Spirit on your own, then you need to get comfortable with it.
Exactly. Yeah. My job has never been, as a minister, has never been to feed you. It's been to equip you to feed yourself.
Yeah.
So I want you, and we want you to, as you're in the wild of the world, be able to survive, because if not, you're going to die.
exactly right.
Simple. Simple.
Yeah, it's like teaching Naomi to fall correctly.
That's right. You got to learn. Yeah. Poor Naomi.
Poor
Daddy. Anyway, minute of culture, Phil. I haven't watched WandaVision yet.
I'm getting really, really tired of waiting for you to watch WandaVision.
Okay, this week. Okay, here's the deal. I finished watching. Sorry, brain. I finished watching How I Met Your Mother, and so that means that I have a completely open spot. So I'm going to go through WandaVision this week. So
WandaVision is really fun. I think it'll be a fun thing to talk about from the standpoint of we like it.
Hey, well, maybe this weekend at the breakfast, we can talk about some WandaVision with all of our listeners.
Maybe so.
That come,
yeah. So. Watch WandaVision if you haven't.
Yeah.
I started watching The Mandalorian again, and it's just as good the second time. Maybe better.
Maybe better. Hey, make sure you RSVP on either the Facebook event, or you can DM us on Instagram. Or if you don't do social media, you can go and email us over at secondbreakfast777@gmail.com. Hey, or you can
secondbreakfast777@gmail.com. Or at Phil at EastwoodTulsa.com.
Or Lucas at EastwoodTulsa.com.
Yes.
All complaints can be sent to Jeremy at EastwoodTulsa.com.
Yeah.
He would love to hear from you, maybe.
I don't know. We're going to get ourselves in trouble like that.
I hope so.
If they complain to him, then we actually get in trouble.
What's he going to do about it, Phil?
Give them a fake
Jeremy,
email address.
If you're listening to this, come and let us know if we're going to get in trouble.
Just tell us.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We love you guys.
Yeah.
Sorry we didn't have an actual minute of culture to give you, except for I did say that the Jets suck, so you're welcome.
That's very true.
Yep.
Very true. Well, you guys have a great week. We'll see you next time on
Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil. Final word, love and pancakes.
Or pancakes.